everyone. Hang on.
War Midwest Guys presents Star Wars Rebels Recon.
My name is Rex, Captain, 501st Clone Battalion.
I'm not afraid.
That's what worries me.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Master.
The rebels of the Lothal system. Hunt them down.
As you wish. Your master has deceived you into believing you can become a Jedi.
Things are getting worse just as they did back when I was your age. Back then, there were 10,000 Jedi Knights protecting the galaxy. Now,
there's just you and me.
All right, if I tag along?
The more the merrier.
Mission accomplished.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Four Midwest Guys Presents Star Wars Rebels Recon. Tonight, we'll be reviewing The Call. With me tonight is Mr. Brian Eckenbauer.
Hey, what's up, what's up?
What's going on, B? And my brother, Aaron.
What's up, man?
What's going on, man?
Not much.
Hey. Hi.
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 Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, guys, so maybe for the first time ever, maybe not the most exciting episode of Star Wars Rebels. Maybe, dare I say, borderline filler episode.
Oh, it's definitely right at the border, if not over.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that. We had, they were called Purrgil, I believe.
Purrgil.
Which are whales slash squids with squid tails that wander through space and are able to breathe in space, apparently.
With superpowers.
With superpowers or hyperspace powers.
They breathe in, gas, and then all of a sudden it gives them superpowers.
They fill up like a Prius.
Yeah.
Well, man, I don't think Prius is capable of hyperspace.
You'd be surprised.
Not yet.
You'd be surprised at how fast a Prius could go.
I drive a Prius. Yay.
Well, it's just the acceleration bit that's, an issue for it. Once you get it to full speed.
Yes. Well,
then it's almost like a real car.
But I don't know. Well, we'll discuss the Prius hyperspeed at a later date, I guess. But
we can.
But anyway, I like to call them, instead of Purrgil, since they're a combination of whales and squids, I like to call them squales. So I'm going to call them squales for the rest of the show.
Just the entire time. Squales!
Squale! So we see, we start off this episode, we actually kind of, for a nice change of pace, I will say, that we see the ship without any fuel, hardly. Like, they've expended all their fuel, their resources are so limited that they've cut back the heat in the ship, they're freezing inside the ship, she's basically, not even the doors will open, because Hera's turned off the power doors to try to conserve power.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see that kind of change, but it also kind of feels like it's just a generic sci-fi background story, in a way.
Maybe, but, it's always, for me, it's a nice change of pace because it seems like they always have fuel.
Yeah.
Like, they just went to wild space.
They constantly just keep going and going and going.
So it was kind of nice to see them, a little bit more gritty, kind of like they just barely had enough resources and they had to find this fuel. That's how desperate the situation has become. So that was a nice little
It adds a touch of realism for you.
Yeah. It's a little bit more grounded, Okay. It's always nice to see your...
It makes Star Wars more real.
Well, I...
And we even get to see squales.
I'm trying to pull some positives out of this, okay?
Pull away, buddy. Pull away.
But anyway, yeah, it's nice to see our heroes up against, some challenges. And they're obviously desperate for this fuel. And that's why I guess they're on this desperate search to find this place that they don't even know where it is. They just know it's out there in this particular area, but they don't know exactly where.
Yeah, so. Somewhere in that asteroid belt.
Right, somewhere in there. And they're desperate.
Yeah, and that's around the time they see the squales and they get attacked by the mining company. And guild.
I kind of felt like this was... There's some writer in the Star Wars Rebels crew that just happens to be, like, watched Whale Wars one too many times, and is kind of a Greenpeacer, maybe, or something, and this is kind of the We Are the World...
I don't think I took that away from it as much as...
Well, it was like kind of just, that, had that, like, you know, save the whales kind of... feel to me, you know.
I don't know. I think it's funny because you have the contrast of Hera, like, all the way up until the end, where it's just like, they're a little asshole.
Yeah, Hera's obviously very biased. Yeah, that's a good point.
This was by far her bitchiest episode. she definitely just did not care for them. She's like, no, they're awful. I've lost friends to them.
They just wander into hyperspace.
Ezra's even wandering off thought-wise. You know, he's like, wait a minute, I think there's... She's like, not enough time for that. Go do the mission. It's like, whoa, sorry.
But apparently Hera explains how they're like the deers of like the hyperspace world or space travel. Yeah, they just wander around and you just ram right into them and blow up.
Yeah, she... You know, this is for somebody who's usually like the voice of reason, and not in this one. I don't know if it's because she took a bump to the head or... what?
Yeah, she definitely seemed to be the main problem in this episode.
I mean, because she's trying to conserve energy and power, and she's like, let's blast them.
Yeah.
You know? They're horrible. But yeah, so obviously Ezra makes a connection with the Squales or Purrgil or whatever, and they follow the path of the Purrgil. They find the this outpost, and we're met with the runner, the head guy of the fuel station. That's what I'm going to call it. I'm not sure what else.
Refinery,
factory, whatever. Yeah.
It's like a refinery.
Yeah, what was his name?
It was a gas mining place. Yeah.
But so, it does seem like it also refines it to an extent because they actually are shipping out barrels from there as well.
Yeah, so they're doing something to try to enhance it. But yeah, so we run into, I forget what the character's name is. But he's very goofy looking. He has...
Bigger guy.
Yeah, bigger, not rounder guy. Kind of almost has like a Super Mario body.
Yeah, they also... I think this is the start where we kind of start critiquing like the actual animation for the episode as well.
Yeah, the animation...
Because like just how they had him move was very... strange.
Yeah, I think we've discussed it. He looked like he was part of... It looks like you were playing Super Mario at some point. The way he moved and the way he ran and the way he kind of jumped around as he was running.
Yeah, his name was Bosch Yoshin.
Boss Yoshin, so there you go.
Yoshin, however you want to pronounce it.
Did they have...
Is it Bosch? Like CH or just Boss?
Boss, B-O-S-S.
Oh, okay.
Does it say what species he is?
Nope.
No, okay. It's definitely one I have never seen in the Star Wars universe. Very, like, telescoped eyes and...
Little tentacle Cthulhu mouth.
Little squid mouth. Between a very odd looking,
really a cross between almost E.T. and the guy from Futurama.
Yes, Zoidberg. Zoidberg. Yes, yeah. A very good description, Brian. Yes, yes. So
I wish they took more from Zoidberg as a character for this character, because that would have been made this way more amusing.
Yay, Zoidberg! Oh.
Yeah, just just running away. I think I actually would have preferred that motion comparison to what they actually gave him, which was. That Mario style run.
Yeah, the animation in this one was just, it was not up to par from what we've seen in the past ones. Mm-hmm. A lot of the distance scenes, it felt a lot like we were watching some of the pre-taped animation from like Mario World, Mario Party, one of those the pre-animation things where they're running really, like you mentioned, really wide because of how big he was. Or I mean, that even happened with the Rebels. When we see him at a distance from the platform, picking up the barrels of fuel and taking them to the plane, it seems off to us until we get up to
do the close up.
But then it goes back to what we're normally used to seeing.
Well, I mean, I think we were talking about this a little bit where you mentioned like even the editing seems a little off comparison to what we're used to. Like it's a lot more jumpy in even that regard.
Yeah, it seemed a little choppy today.
Yeah, I think we even made talking about it while we were watching it that maybe they're saving, you know, some of the budget for the animation or something for later episodes or even episodes we've already seen action wise.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny, as I was going through the episode cast and, you know, it has the usual Freddie Prinze Jr. and everybody, but one of the mining guild members.
Yeah.
Guess who did the voice?
No, who?
Dave Filoni.
Oh, really? He finally gets some credit.
Yeah.
I wonder. He doesn't do Boss, does he?
No.
No. Okay. All right, so he's been known to do it. There is a rumor that Dave Filoni has actually does Chopper's voice, but that's never been confirmed. So there we go. So Mr. Dave Filoni, they must have ran out of the union wouldn't let the voice actor do more. They can only do like four, and then they have to pay him again. So I guess Mr. Filoni comes to the rescue.
Well, that could go into our comment about like the budget might have been cut in this episode.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, like, so they're saving budgets, and not just camera guy number two.
Hey, you on the street, can you do a voice? Sure, we'll give you $100. Okay.
Now, one thing I did notice about this episode was that the death count seemed a little high. Like five people that actually bit the dust in this one.
Yeah, I mean, even there towards the end, you have Boss, I forget his last name, Yushin.
Yeah.
Like, he gets carried off by one of the squales and thrown into, like, the chamber of gas.
Yeah, he's gassed to death, essentially. Yeah. Talk about a bad way to go.
Yeah.
I thought the whale was going to just eat him.
Eat him, eaten by, half eaten by a whale and taken into the...
Yeah, drowned in gas. Yeah, so... Not a very pleasant way to go for Mr. Boss. Yeah. But yeah, I agree. Yeah, it was kind of violent. Yeah. You know, for the Jedi, but I mean, I guess they didn't really have any choice there, but it did, I guess the rest of the episode, I guess they had to throw in some death and some violence and some action because it was so, I don't know, heavily. Yeah.
Well, I mean, then you also
had Greenpeace episodes. Like,
you also had bits where Ezra almost kind of bites the dust in the cloud of gas as well before the squale save him.
Right, he makes the connection. Again, yeah. And there's a good point. We see Ezra make another connection with the Force with another beast.
Yeah,
so
with another animal.
Mm. Yeah. Like, it's like a throwback to the first season where you do see him when he's tapping the dark side. It's like kind of connecting with a larger, you know, stronger animal and, you know, kind of using that to his advantage. And I think if we go back to, like, the Jedi Order, like, we did have, like, specialists or different kind of classes. And that could be something where maybe him connecting to other, you know, creatures in the universe might be something that's almost like a specialty for him.
Well, we've seen it in the past, too, like the Lothal Cat, when he's going after Ryder. And,
oh, that's
and
true. All, like, I actually forgot about that.
He has that connection again. So, yeah, he's definitely a Jedi...
Jedi Doolittle.
Yeah. Doolittle or an animal whisperer through the Force or whatever. So, yeah, it was that was a good point. You know, that was kind of...
I think that's one of the redeeming qualities of this episode, really, is that it does kind of expand on, like, Ezra's abilities to an extent.
Yeah, and they do make mention, and I'm going to bring this up, because at the very end, you do see these squales, pergil, whatever you want to call them.
Oh, no, it's squales.
We're going to... Yeah, we'll keep it as squales. I like that better. You see their tentacles power up. And they do make a jump into hyperspace.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's after they go through the gas.
Right, they collect the gas. You said their eyes change color.
Their eyes change color. They go from like a gray whale to like a brightly colored...
Yeah, like it almost has like the hyperspace kind of thing
like
going
the gas
in their eyes.
They
have the hyperspace in their eye or whatever, and the outer body of it turns to like pinks and yellows and...
Like, you actually see that with Ezra for a bit when he's connecting with the squale as well. It's like, you actually see that kind of in his eyes as well.
And Ezra even says, you know, this is just one stop on a very long journey. So it's obviously some sort of migration pattern that they're doing.
Yep.
But you do see these things biologically make the jump to hyperspace. Their tails start doing, like, the...
pulsating? Like
I was going to say...
Like, their tentacles kind of spread out.
Yeah,
and
it's
like
almost
light
like...
Up.
What's that movie? The... sci-fi movie with the music and the lights, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah.
You see, like, their tentacles do kind of like a light up or like a runway pattern light up, and then boom, gone.
Yeah.
They're in hyperspace. But my tie into that is they do mention that the whales that a lot of people that Hera said at the beginning, even though she hates them, she's saying, well, that's how people think they were inspired to create hyperspace themselves.
To go visit other galaxies.
They saw the whales do it.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a play on, like, the, like, mermaid stories, like, in our history, almost.
Kind of, yeah, in a way. You know, so they're trying to tie in, you know, some old ancient Star Wars lore to these squales.
So the birth of hyperspace, hyperdrive, is actually
inspired.
A birth, literally,
yeah,
of a squale.
Yes, inspired by squales that travel space wondrously and get trapped in hyperspace lanes.
And that right there is my WTF moment of the week.
Whisko Tangy Tango Foxtrot.
Mm-hmm.
They take some liberties here. This episode does not in any way, shape, or form further any plot other than we see Ezra make another connection with a bigger...
I'm actually kind of hoping the Squirrels show up again. Like, I just wanted to see them just randomly get hit things
by, like, show up in the Empire or something.
Yeah, like the Empire is chasing after them, and all of a sudden they just hit a random Squirrel.
They just takes out a cruiser or something.
And they go outside with their giant squeegee to clean off the window. Nice. You see Vader calling an insurance company.
Yeah.
It's like, hit a squirrel. Out of nowhere.
Occasionally you see asteroids with a little squirrel crossing.
He just stopped and looked at me. I don't know. It's crazy.
It's like he just froze.
I hope you're insured. This episode was not the greatest.
I think this actually might be one of the few cases where I feel like it actually makes the canon of Star Wars universe a little bit worse for the wear.
Maybe.
I'm not sure. Like,
did you
say
worse for the whale?
I didn't, but I should have. That would have been the better pun.
Worse for the squail.
Yeah. Like, I feel like the squails actually kind of detract from the universe a little bit.
Oh, by far.
I think it's a neat little anecdote, I guess, but
yeah.
Does it further anything in the Star Wars lore? No. I mean,
no, but we can't wait for the spinoff.
I certainly do not want to see like if they decided to do a Knights of the Old Republic movie. I certainly don't want to see them studying squails and go, aha, hyperdrive. You know,
I don't know. Like, maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe it's just like I need to give it more time. And once I truly enjoy the squails,
embrace the squails. Nice.
Maybe it will actually be something where it really does add to the universe. You just see squails just randomly hitting things in the background.
Like, oh, that's it. That's where it was. Oh, man.
Yeah. Like, you have just like a random just stormtrooper that's, you know, off somewhere, and all of a sudden, eaten by a squail. It happens.
The only thing that could have made this episode worse is if you saw squail hunters. And we kind of did. I mean, they were shooting at them.
Yeah.
Looked like harpoon guns, but...
Yeah. I actually thought that's where the mining guild was going. It's like they're actually harvesting the squails, like oil or for some weird like thing that's something unique to the squails.
They were just trying to keep them from eating their gas, or
sucking up all the gas as they left.
I thought like once you guys were mentioning like the Greenpeace thing, I was like, oh, it's like going on the Japanese fishermen sort of route with this. Okay,
yeah, I mean if you were going to cross the Star Wars and the Star Trek worlds together, this might be one way to do it, right? Because you had the whale episode of Star Trek 4. Captain, there'll be whales aboard.
I've never seen Star Trek enough to actually know that was a thing.
Star Trek 4, Voyage Home.
That would be hilarious. Yeah. That would be hilarious if they did that. And you see on one of the asteroids out there, there's like a little sign, like one of those for sale signs.
Yeah.
Except it says, Save Spock.
Nice.
Next Star Trek movie, you're just going to see a squail in the distance.
This is a squail.
You're like, holy shit, it's the same universe.
Yeah, but you know, the other thing, the things didn't really make whale noises. I was expecting, like...
Well, they did a little at the beginning.
Yeah, they did. That was the whole noise that Ezra was hearing, was the whale calls.
Yeah, it doesn't really suggest whether he hears that, like, telepathically, or whether it's actually making noise.
I did not pick up on that. I was totally...
Yeah, so, like, I'll pull my inner Berkey right now, and they were like...
Brian will appreciate that.
Yes. In the beginning, that's what they did.
Yeah,
a whole bunch of...
made like old whale noises. Mm-hmm. Or
totally missed that. All right.
Yeah, like apparently Ezra was the only one picking up on it because everyone else is like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, we don't hear anything, and he's like, "Don't you hear it? It's all over. It's all around us."
Yeah, like the rest of them are just like, "It's cold in here. Shut up."
Yeah, all I can hear is my brain freezing.
And even you pointed out, though, as they were coming close and Harris freaking out, you're like, it's space. Just go above them or below them.
All six of them. Yeah. Five or six of them. And she's like, oh my God, it's either hit those or the asteroids. I'm like, or go below everything.
Just move out of the way.
Yeah, it's like you're in like a corridor and you have to go past them. No, you go above and below them.
Off the side, somewhere. Yeah,
it's space.
And as obstinate as she was, she just goes along with, finally she gives in to Kanan and she gives in to Ezra.
Yeah, and there towards the end you have her like, oh, well, I guess they weren't so bad. Right. Kind of just ending to it. It's like, okay, that was quick.
They just do what they do.
Yeah.
Although, I did like the one point where Kanan's like, see, that wasn't so bad, and she like turns him off. She turns him off, he's calm.
Yeah, he's like, he was trying to rub it in, and he's like, aren't you glad we didn't try to shoot him and waste all of our energy? Click. Turn. Save more energy by turning off the mics.
I'm just tired of listening to you now.
Yeah, I've had enough of your Jedi crap for one night. So that was a little, I don't know, nice little moment. Yeah. A little Valentine's Day gift there, pre-Valentine's Day gift. So, couples therapy.
Well, I actually appreciate them not doing, like, a Valentine's Day special or anything like that. I feel like that would go overboard.
No. We've tried romance. It only works with Han Solo and Princess Leia.
Even then, not well.
That was all right. I was okay with that, honestly. But, yeah.
I don't know. I actually feel like the Kanan and Hera dynamic actually works better in the long run.
Well, probably, but...
Like, it doesn't go into it too heavily, but it does actually suggest that they are kind of a couple.
I mean, the two romantic lines we've seen in Star Wars universe so far is A, Princess Leia and Han Solo, and B, Anakin Skywalker and Padme Amidala.
Mm-hmm.
Padme Amidala, I've been dying a little bit every day. You know, since you came back in my life, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, ugh, that's horrible.
I think if you really want to go that route, you can kind of just break down the prequels as a whole.
Well, let's not go into prequel bashing. We'll hold up there. All right, I think we've done the best, and we've tried to talk about this about the best we can. So let's just get right to final thoughts. Mr. Eckenbauer, your final thoughts, sir?
Oh, let's see. We'll go with my grade first. My grade, I'm going to give it a D.
Okay.
A D.
That's fair.
Just because, like you said, there was hardly any action in this. What little there was seemed like it was edited wrong, or it was very poorly animated.
Mm.
So you didn't even have that aspect. I didn't really care. It got to the point where we're watching it, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, I can see this. Okay, it's all right. And then we get to the end, and the Purr Girl just hyperdrive by themselves. That was just dumb. To me, that reminded me of the ending of Indiana Jones and the King of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
Where the ending is like, so they're just aliens? Yeah, that was kind of stupid. Because, like, the whole movie was... It had decent build-up. Yeah, there were some parts that were kind of hokey, but it still felt like an Indiana Jones movie until that spot at the end, and you're like...
It had the Shyamalan ending?
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck?
It's a twist, except it's not. There's nothing leading up to that conclusion.
It's a twist because you had no idea it was coming, and it was so stupid that you didn't think it was impossible.
Yeah, it made no sense. That's why it's a twist. Okay.
But my one thing that we didn't talk about was... Kanan's hair. Yeah, not hair. His helmet.
Oh, yes. That's right. We totally forgot about that.
Yeah, where Sabine just kind
of... Spray painted to look like a...
Tagged it.
A lion or a tiger to me.
Or a bird face.
Yeah,
something.
A bird face. Like, look at something exploded in his face. Yeah. I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah, that was cool. Actually, I hopefully they market that, because I wouldn't mind getting that for Gabby. That was kind of cool looking.
This next Halloween, you just rock in that little bird face kind of mask.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my dad did it for Halloween. She was a bean, so
yeah.
Last Halloween, he did the whole helmet, painted. So there you go, Pawpaw. New project for you. Aaron, what's your final thought and grade?
I probably would have given it a D, but throughout the podcast, I've just enjoyed saying squales. And, like, it was really stupid at first, but now I'm really enjoying it.
No, Aaron, it's still stupid.
Oh, it is. But it's stupid and I'm enjoying it, so I'm going to bump it up to, like, a C-.
Oh, okay.
All right, so you were embracing the squale side and hugging the squales and feeling good.
He's a squale watcher.
Squale watcher.
Yeah.
Okay, my final thought and grade, I'll be the optimistic here. I'll pull a C+ out of this, only because we got to see Ezra make another connection in the Force. We did get to see, maybe a slight explanation of where hyperspace, the idea for hyperspace came from. That's about the best I can do. Honestly, I this is the first time I've ever said this about a Star Wars Rebels episode. You can skip this one, honestly. And be perfectly fine, and you're not missing anything. This was pure filler from beginning to end, from start to finish. So
this felt like Filoni lost a bet and said, oh, now the janitor gets to write an episode because, I bet him that we couldn't fill up three garbage cans full of trash in 1 week, and we did, so...
Well, just...
hear that, or just someone's like, I'm going to make a squail episode. It's going to be great.
It's like I said, I think...
Squail!
Can you imagine the excitement of that guy, Ann? And he's like, I want to make an episode. Squails and squids. I want to make it. Let's do it!
It's not even worse than the stuff they put on like some of those sci-fi movies.
Like Sharktopus?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. I feel like they all got together, they toked it up, and they watched like a marathon of Whale Wars and said, that would be fucking amazing!
What was it, the other one they had, Sharktopus versus like Whale Wolf or something like that?
Yeah.
Some stupid stuff like that.
Yeah,
they were just watching this like, we gotta do it. We could totally pull this off way better than they ever did.
Let's do Space Whale. No. I just got done watching this Sharktopus, so let's do two different animals and we'll put them together.
Yeah.
Squails.
Yes! I just, like I said, skip it. It doesn't do much.
Either that or we're just going to, you know, just start putting squails in every episode now.
Unless there is something phenomenal that happens with the squail down the line. I don't see a need for this episode.
I don't know. I feel like...
If anybody out there listening knows where we can get Save the Squail t-shirts, please let us know.
Well, or maybe we'll make it ourselves and start selling.
Save the Squail.
Save the Squail.
I think that'd be nice. I like that, actually.
Save the Squail. Collect the entire species. Oh, wait. That defeats the purpose. Never mind. But, okay. So, alright.
I think we're going to miss the squails in the next episode.
Honestly, I don't give a squail's ass if I ever see one again. Alright, so.
That's just how they go through hyperspace. They just discharge.
I don't even want to think about that. I really don't.
You don't want the biology of the squail coming into play.
I don't need to know about, you know, how the squail gets into hyperspace by letting out one, lighting its own fart or something. Alright, I really don't.
Well, it's like the, what is it, the bumper beetle or whatever that actually explodes, like, binds, like, two gases out of its rear or something.
Yeah, that's probably what happens, obviously, but I don't need to know that.
All right, fair enough.
Or think about it, really. So, all right, where can you, after this amazing conversation, where can you find 4 Midwest Guys? You can find us online at facebook.com/4MidwestGuys. You can reach us on Twitter @4MidwestGuys. You can also reach us on email @4MidwestGuys@gmail.com. Please reach out to us. We'd like to hear back from you. We're always looking for input. We're always doing new things. We just had a planning meeting not that long ago. We've got plenty of cool stuff coming down the pike. So also look for our Deadpool special to be released here very shortly. All right, Mr. Ankenbauer, where can people find you?
You can find me at AnkZone on Twitter. Reach out to ask me some questions or give me some suggestions.
There you go. All right, well, Aaron, thanks for joining us, sir.
No problem.
Our squail lover.
Yeah.
Actually, you've got a skull cap on right now, so you kind of, you might be...
Squail.
Are you on Squail Wars?
I'm not, no.
Okay, just checking, dude.
I've auditioned a few times.
You kind of fit, you know, with the little round glasses and the scruffy beard and the skull cap. Yeah, you kind of fit the part.
Yeah, I've auditioned a few times, but I've been steadily rejected from Squail Wars.
Squail Wars, copy. Mr. Ankenbauer, thanks for joining us, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
Yep, no problem. All right, guys, this is B. Willie saying, may the force be with you, always.
And I'm going to start with Lure.
And also save the squails.